Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Man, how is old Lukey Dookie doing?
Oh man, he good. That's my man for real. You know, he always cool, just laid back, is up, chilling always.
He chilling till he not chilling.
Yeah. Listen,
he chilling till he not chilling.
Oh yeah, nah, he get hyped. He definitely get hyped with you.
Hey Road Trippin' fam, we are excited to let you know that Road Trippin' is proud to be presented by FanDuel. Never played NBA Daily Fantasy on FanDuel before? Well, check this out. Right now, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with a 20% deposit match. Why should you play on FanDuel NBA? Well, for one, it is easy to use when it comes to their app. What's not to love about that? But also, for example, they offer different and unique contests across sports in relation to your skill level. Oh yeah, and get this. You can play for big prizes, single game contests for the biggest national matches, and enter contests for as low as 5 cents. That's right. 5 cents. Simply incredible. So again, let's recap. Right now, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with a 20% deposit match. Enter URL FanDuel.com/roadtrippin to play now and get your deposit bonus. That's URL FanDuel.com/roadtrippin so they know we sent you. FanDuel, more ways to win.
Guys, Channing Frye here. Let me tell you about something that has completely transformed my outside experience. I live in the Pacific Northwest. I love hiking. I love camping. I love being outside on those cool summer nights. And the best thing that I've discovered, that I found, is the Solo Stove. This thing is amazing. We have one by the pool, so we want to go in the pool at night. People can be roasting marshmallows. And guess what? You're not going to be covered in smoke. This thing is smokeless. Okay, this thing comes with a free stand, which also helps with the maneuverability of it. We take it everywhere. We've been camping with this thing. We've been out in front of our house with this thing with friends, social distancing. But one thing I want you to remember is make spring one to remember with the smokeless fire pit from Solo Stove and get a free stand with any purchase of a fire pit. Just use our promo code ROADTRIPPIN at checkout. That's solostove.com, promo code ROADTRIPPIN.
Hey everybody, Richard Jefferson here. Let me first tell you, when I retired, I didn't really have a ton of suits, but I got into broadcasting. What was I thinking? And now suits are mandatory. But I made a decision that I wasn't just going to wear suits, I was going to wear suits that looked good. With so many crazy things going on this year, everything has been postponed. Weddings, anniversaries, reunions, and hopefully gender reveal parties. It may have been a while since the last time you had an excuse to dress up, but when you do get a chance, you have to check out Indochino. Now, you can visit a showroom or you can do it online like me. Now, look, I'm more of a meat and potatoes guy, but there is a ton of things that you can customize your clothing. And when I think of customized clothing, you know what I think of? I think of Deion Sanders because he so famously said, when you look good, you feel good. When you feel good, you play good. And when you play good, they pay good. Indochino offers completely customized fitted suits, shirts, casual wear, and more at surprisingly affordable prices. Every piece is made to your exact measurement, and you can customize every detail. Choose everything about your suit from the fabric, the lapel, the monogram, and statement linings. You can create a suit that fits you and your style perfectly.
Cheers. I see that, Channing, you are drinking, which is nice. I appreciate it.
I have to pick up my son. We don't promote drinking and driving here.
Cheers. Welcome into this edition of Road Trippin', presented by FanDuel. I'm your host, Allie Clifton, alongside Channing Frye, Richard Jefferson. And we all have a connection with our guest today because we just talked about it. He is a center, power forward, plays multiple positions. Channing, what do you call it? He's the guy with a lot of bounce.
Oh, he got bounce. He got
for the Sacramento Kings.
He probably is the meanest dunker.
His mom yelled at me on Twitter.
All the Kings. Yeah,
yeah, she
all
did. Does your mom often do that? Does she defend her baby boy? Because my mom does.
My mom defends me like no other. I mean, yes. Like I said, I'm sure you understand. But
yeah, I completely understand.
Anything negative, anything that she don't like, my mom is like, it used to be really bad when I was in Philly. Like, she didn't really calm down. Nah.
Okay, good.
Because you know how the fans in Philly are.
Yeah, you're not going to win that battle, mom. But mom, she sent, like, I was cracking a joke. You know what? I was doing your guys' game. I cracked a joke about you shooting in three, and I was like, yeah, that's a preseason shot. Like, you know, you probably, you know, get him up in the preseason. You might not want to shoot that with 18 on the clock. I know he's been working on it, but like, no. And then mom's tweeted at me, what kind of nonsense is that? What player is not going to work? So she hit with facts. It wasn't just like,
super
like
facts.
What type of player is not going to work on his game and try and get better? And I was like, mom, that's not what I was saying, but like, I don't know if this is a platform for that.
Oh man, that's all she sees is, man, maybe he shouldn't have took that shot. And she's going ready to go in. Always. She's always on go, but that's my mom. I love
it. We love it, man. My mom was the same way. So we all get it, dude. We all get it.
But you played on, I remember you were that energy mean guy, always came out to bench. I hated, and no offense, I hated garbage time versus you. Because you got one motor, right? You got one speed. Man. And I go in and, hey, there's garbage time etiquette, right, for the vets. It's going to take me. If we got 1 minute, I'm going to give you all the jumpers. That's three possessions, right? One, two, three. Shoot all the jumpers you want. No, you screen and rolling, trying to put me on a poster in the last 40 seconds. I was like, hey, yo, etiquette. This is, I'm not even warm. I don't want to take a shower. I took a shower half knowing damn well I'm not gonna play. This is ridiculous. But you've evolved, like Philly, Phoenix, now here in Sacramento, and it's been a rough season for you guys, obviously with injuries and stuff. But covering it, everybody on in Atlanta who works with TNT is like has the highest praise for you because of your consistency of like effort. And again, that aggression is hard to be aggressive every single night. And I feel like you try to embarrass people. If you get that running screen, I'm like, you got to make a business decision. Do I want to get my fingers broke if I try to block it? Or do I take a charge? Like, how did that evolve for you?
For me, honestly, like being the youngest out of four boys, it's always a chip on your shoulder every day because, like, man, I was getting beat up from, I mean, I don't know how young. Like, my brothers are big, so you know what I'm saying? When I first started trying to play basketball, I was trying to play against them. So everything had to just be tough, hard. Like, everything, I had to take it because they showed me no sympathy at all. Like, my brothers tried to embarrass me on the court every time I played, no matter how young I was. Every time we played, they tried to embarrass me. So I kind of just picked up the attitude for real. Like, if I'm going into the hole, I'm going to make sure nobody's going to take it from me because I'm going to get clowned by them still to this day if somebody takes my rock. So, like, I just got to, you know, it's that same attitude for real. Like, I'm playing against them every time I step on the floor almost.
Yeah, see, Channing never had that because he was the older brother. He's 7 feet tall and his younger brother is 5'10", right? So it's like there's never – so look, at the end of the day, it's like, dude, I am the youngest of three boys also. And even though my brothers didn't play ball, like, you, I understand. Like, you got – you're the last one to eat. You're the last one to
man.
Like, you don't get to pick no
movies.
Yeah, they don't get to take any. You don't get to like watch and pick the movies. You don't get anything. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah, I think that's why both of you guys are athletes and I'm the skill player.
Yes.
I'm like, hey, listen, y'all keep that down there. I'm going to be out here. Just let me be.
Hey, man, I wish I could get the tray ball you had, though. I wish I could.
Give it time. If
I had 1/10 of your bounce, I'd be a billionaire.
Yeah, what year is this for you? What year is this for you? Rashawn?
It's year six.
Year six. Channing didn't start shooting threes till what year, Channing?
Year six.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. Give it time. Just keep working on it. Keep working on it. Make sure your mom. Make sure your mom hears the podcast and knows.
I would make sure she definitely gonna be peeping.
Okay. Good.
Listen,
Rashawn, did your brothers play sport? Sports? Did you?
My brothers, like, we love playing basketball growing up, and they played like throughout high school for real. So
okay,
all the way up until that time, I was kind of the punching bag, the practice dummy. You know, they want to work on new moves and different things like that. They covered at me, so that was my job for a while.
It's amazing. The youngest ones, man. The youngest. You'd be surprised how many of the youngest make it, because they had to play against older siblings.
LaMelo Ball.
It means a lot. Like playing against people that are better than you, man, it can't be like untold for real. Like it takes a lot to overcome that.
It's hard.
You can overcome that, your confidence is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, you go all of a sudden playing against kids your age and you're like, oh, this is easy.
For sure.
Are you healthy? I know you left last night's game. For those that are listening, this will drop on Monday. So on Thursday, you left with knee soreness?
Yeah, just like having like some, like a little knee soreness right now. So
Kemper's knee, I get it.
Me yeah, too. So we taking it like day by day, trying to see like get treated.
Tendonitis. Like
will you shut up and let him tell the story?
Nah, that's facts though. That jumper's knee is it. So, but yeah, no, I'm just trying to, you know, just trying to get healthy, staying in the treatment room. And you know, I'm definitely going to try to play if I can, for sure. I hate sitting out.
Is it because of the conditioning you have to do if you sit out? That was my reasoning. I was like, fuck this.
Being out is the worst part. You got to do way more. You got to work harder, way harder than everybody else. Playing the game is the easy, fun part.
The game is 48 minutes, and you may play 35 of them. If you don't play, they running you like you play 48. I'm like,
oh, man.
Be in shape for 20 minutes a game. Again, not 48, they see 20, it. Just 20.
Oh, that was the number one thing to not be injured. Is because you didn't want to do the conditioning.
Oh man.
It's like, dude, wait, I can play 12 minutes a night and not have to do any conditioning. But if I miss one game, I got to do an hour worth of conditioning. Like, what kind of shit is that?
It's tough. Yeah. It's tough. I mean, you're that first bus and you working out the whole time until the game is over with, just about.
That's all the game is over with. Let's talk the Kings. Obviously, I think outside, no one knows it better than you. These two talk the game, obviously, so they have their perspective. And you guys have two games left. You are an unrestricted free agent this summer. You've expressed interest about returning to the Kings. But how would you describe the season that you guys have had?
I mean, I feel like it was very inconsistent. You know, we had a lot of injuries as we went. And we were able to put together great stretches, honestly. Like, we were running, like, 8 out of 9. And then we are going to losing streak of 9, you know. So it was very, very up and down. But we, you know, had some high moments, low moments. But, you know, we've been together throughout the whole thing. And, you know, still competing, so.
Yeah. No. I want to know. I want to know the truth.
No, don't tell us the truth.
The reason why we got to talk about family. Okay, so I saw your mom come at me on Twitter, not upset because my mom would have done the same thing. But like, what is it when you see, you know, just different interactions between teammates, like parents on Twitter? Like, I know that doesn't always necessarily involve the locker room. Like, Lonzo Ball is one of the most popular guys, you know, with wherever he's at, because he's just such a good dude, even though his dad, LeVar, is special, right? Because you don't take it out. But like, what is it when you see guys like De'Aaron Fox, or you see these other guys like Marvin Bagley, when you see a little bit of a beef going on in that world? Like, how do you guys handle that internally? Because I know the basketball world is curious.
I mean, honestly, for us, it was funny. Like, I mean, for real, like, it's like this locker room is the most jokesters I've ever seen, probably on one team. Like, it's a joke about everything. Like, I'm serious. And to us, like, it was probably like a 1-2-time conversation about it, and everybody's cracking jokes about it. Everybody's laughing. De'Aaron's laughing. Marvin's laughing. And like, that's just how we take everything. Like, everything we take, everybody's joking about it. And it was just hilarious to us, for real.
What are you saying, Richard?
Did you mute yourself?
Damn, no, I accidentally mute myself. I was sitting here like, look at this shit. This shit, listening to it was so funny.
Oh, so funny. Yeah. But it sounds like that's the first time it's happened. I think, you know, from the outside in, Marvin Bagley, and I'll specifically talk about him, is that guy that's always like, what position is he? What does he do? And then like, he was supposed to be De'Aaron Fox's Batman or Robin, right? And to me, he's with his injuries, the team has gone in a different direction, because when you're injured, they can't rely on you on a consistent basis. Like, think about the Dallas Mavericks. Like, Porzingis and Doncic's relationship isn't fluid, right? Because KP misses so much time. But then you watch them in the bubble. They had time to practice together. They had time to, like, do stuff. They were looking great. And then KP got hurt again. So for me, I think for your team, I think in today's game, if you don't have a dynamic four, right? And I say you're a 6'9", 6'10", power dunker, power forward center, but you need another guy where you can go four out, one in, where you roll to the hoop, you only have to deal with that bottom weak side guy. And I don't know if you guys have that spacing yet. And that's more of a GM thing than you guys. I like the makeup of your team. You're young, you're fast. I think when you guys get maybe one or two more defenders, like, to keep the ball up, I think De'Aaron Fox is really good at defending, but he needs a Patrick Beverley. He needs somebody who's like, I'm going to guard this dude since you're pushing the pace of us on offense. I think Halliburton is the steal of the draft. I think that dude got that like wiggle, which is like something you can't practice against. Like, he got a weird game where I'm like, oh, this dude got like the dude at the YMCA who never comes off the court, but you're like, how the hell did he just score that? But like, you got players. Harrison Barnes had a great year this year.
Yeah.
Shout out to my fantasy team. I actually lost to stupid Logan for a second place, but I think you guys are good. You just need two or three more pieces to be better. That's just almost.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. You know, I definitely agree with that. It's a lot of talent. And, you know, to speak to Marvin, you know, like, I was looking like earlier this year, you know, I can't remember what certain point, but he just like played his 82nd game. So, you know, he 3 years just in, made it.
Yeah. It's tough.
A full season. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's got one season of NBA games under his belt. So, you know, man, injuries is just, man.
And you can't ever get a confidence. You can't get your confidence. You can't push as hard as you would like. Because, like, once you get your confidence, like, people are so surprised about Derrick Rose playing the way he is. Well, this is like, this has been a great stretch for him of actually being healthy. So now he pushes it a little bit further, And now he's really all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, but you have seen this kind of rise coming over the last couple of years because there's been a consistency of health. You know, but that's where, you know, and again, we'll say this and we'll keep saying it. Yes, parents in sports, they can shift some things, but this is professional sports. Like, this is not AAU. This is not college where my son's going to transfer. It's like, no, your son signed a contract and we're going to do what we please respectfully in what's best for our team also. Yeah. And it's just, I just don't think it ever helps. It never ever helps when parents are in that space. That's an agent's job. Let the agent be the ass. Let the manager be like parents. And if you don't like what the agent is doing, then fire the agent, hire another agent, and say, then get my son out of there. Get my son out.
Yeah, most definitely.
You know,
most definitely.
And so
wild story. I was in Portland. And I was like, okay,
really
this is
a wild story. Is this really going to be a wild story?
This is actually a very wild story. Richard, mute yourself. So there we go. Yes. Perfect. Keep it that way the whole shit. Hey, so I had asked for a trade early because I was playing behind LaMarcus Aldridge. I was like, yo, this is my fourth year. This is my contract year. I need an opportunity. And I knew that Nate McMillan's style wasn't mine about like shooting and facing up. He wanted me to be more like Joe Prisbilla, which ended up helping my career. But so my parents are hot. Uh-huh. So we go play the Lakers in Staples Center. Rob Pelinka's my agent. They're sitting in behind Paul Allen. My dad has a few drinks. Who starts cussing at Paul Allen, let my son go? He's like, you better fucking stop it before I get you. If you don't trade my son, this is bullshit. Like, security had to get him. And I was like, damn, that didn't help. But low key, Paul Allen didn't give a shit. No. He didn't give a shit. I played out that whole year. Him and I were cool. I was cracking jokes with him. He was like, remember that day your dad cussed me out before he passed away? And I was like, yeah, well. And he was like, hey, we're still not going to trade you.
Hey, I'm gonna add to your Paul Allen story just for people to understand like NBA and stuff. So a team called the Portland Trailblazers and was like, hey, this is our offer. This is our offer for this player, this draft pick. It's going to be like, you know, a second round pick, this player and cash. And they called back. Yeah. They're like, we don't do things for cash. And they were like, what? He's like, Paul Allen's got all the money in the world. We want assets. He doesn't care about more cash. Oh, well, we got 300 grand back. He's like, cool. That'll pay for the gas on my yacht this week. Like what? Like,
it wouldn't like, even cool. pay for the gas on his yacht.
It wouldn't even pay for the gas on his yacht.
But it's just, his yacht. Yeah, swear to
it's
God.
Just funny to hear how like teams will do business based off of their owners. Like, yeah, we only take second round picks, assets, players, but we don't take cash.
Dude. Yeah, see, I got traded for cash.
Yeah.
I think they said I got traded for like a fax machine and a Philly cheesesteak.
Yes.
What is up with that? Because that's the same thing that happened to Kyle Korver, and I think it was mixed in with Philly.
Oh yeah, nah, they
got a lot of faxes they're sending
Philly
out.
Deals with cash, all dope. But
yo,
yeah,
but it's not you wouldn't have been traded to the Trailblazers for cash. You wouldn't have been traded to the Trailblazers for cash because Paul Allen and the Trailblazers don't accept cash. We don't need it.
No, we don't need that.
We're not money. We don't need money.
Do you remember when Diddy was throwing out the ones in his wallet? Like, well, I don't keep these.
I think it's funny to not funny. Like, I actually
Allie, really quickly.
Yeah.
Your mic is really high. Is anybody else? Is she really loud?
Am I too high? Mic, 1, 2, 1, 2.
When you start like projecting, then it gets loud. I'm just telling you.
When you use your big girl voice, it's too loud.
You need me to use my inside voice?
Hey, Road Trippin' fam. I just want to take a moment and talk about something new I'm adding to my hobby life, if you will. Coming from the Midwest, we live for the springtime weather. It means summer is right around the corner. AKA all that good weather. And ever since I was a little girl, I would spend all the hours of the day outside, usually ending it around a campfire. No joke. It was a great way to wind down, but then spend time with family and friends. Even when we'd be on vacation, the night always just seemed to end with a bonfire. So recently I came across Solo Stove. Thought, hey, let's check it out. In fact, my parents did as well. What is a Solo Stove first and foremost? Well, it's a smokeless fire pit. Yes, smokeless. No walking away feeling as if you are taking the fire with me. You know what I'm saying? And so a couple weekends ago, my parents and I actually FaceTimed as we unpackaged and put together our Ranger fire pits, which by the way, is so efficient and easy to do. It took us less than 5 minutes. One thing we came across when putting it together was this piece that we now know is probably very important. It's the fire pit stand. So no matter where you place it, because, oh yeah, by the way, it's portable. My parents, big into camping, are gonna take it with them on their trips. It creates this insulated barrier that protects any kind of surface, no matter what it is. It's made of 304 stainless steel, durable construction, and as I mentioned, efficient from the moment you open to porting it around wherever you see fit. And so here's the deal. Since we love so much you guys, we want to encourage our listeners to get in on the fun with spring upon us and summer right around the corner. Do yourself a favor. Make this spring one to remember with a smokeless fire pit from Solo Stove and get a free stand, free with any purchase of a fire pit. Just use our promo code ROADTRIPPIN at checkout. That's solostove.com, promo code ROADTRIPPIN, ROADTRIPPIN.
I think it's awesome to hear that like that's how the locker room handled it, because obviously this day with social media, it was like, oh my God, this huge thing. So for you to like, you know, obviously give us that insight, but I can't help but think, because obviously the way we started this podcast, your head coach, Luke, came on Road Trippin' 2 years ago. And he told this story about how professional/unprofessional Channing was when he played for Luke in the Lakers at the end of his career. How does Luke handle to hear that you say that you guys have the most jokesters and to know how Luke is, how does he handle you guys?
Oh man, it depends on like the day, honestly. Like if we on a winning streak or we done won a few in a row and we joking a little bit, you know, he might throw a little jab in there or something. He might laugh a little bit, but man, let us be joking and we just lost the game.
He's coming in there, cussing us out.
Making sure we understand, we better lock into the field. We just got embarrassed. We we supposed to be professional athletes. We are here joking. I mean, he will go off if you're joking too much, especially during like film.
Yeah, and one thing that you and from he comes from the older school, right? Like not like his first when he was a rookie. It was sorry, turning this off. When he was a rookie, he had Karl Malone, Gary Payton, Kobe, and Shaq. So like when you have veterans like that, it's very serious. They don't play. When you lose, the bus is quiet. The plane is quiet because like you're not supposed to lose. And so sometimes when you're around young teams, they're just there. They're happy to be there. They're happy to be playing games, you know? You got to establish how everything should be done and treated when you're playing that manner.
Oh, I've been on teams where if you lost, you couldn't be on your phone. Like you couldn't talk on the phone.
Yeah.
Like they were like, if we catch you on your phone, we're finding you. You're like, what?
Oh, man. Okay.
Wow. But then you realize like Luke in college, if we lost, Luke wouldn't talk to us at night. None of us. He wouldn't talk to us for hours. Right. And we're like, I'm 30 minutes. I'm like, okay, well, what else is going on today? Luke, no. He's like watching film. He's figuring it. He's icing his knees and his ankles. He like just take care. Like Luke is that.
He's a competitor for sure. He's a super competitor for sure. Yeah. That's one of the main things I love about him for real. Like, you know, we step out there, you go into war, he want to win just as bad as you do. So,
this is the thing. One day he's going to turn. He's going to get his, 50 wins. One day he's going to do that. And then you'll get to see a much, it's just, you almost have to be you need to be the same person, but within that, you need to adjust based off what the roles need. When you got a veteran team that's winning 60 games, 55 games, like you're not stressed about whether or not these guys take a loss the right way, because the only way you win that much is if you take losses very badly,
right?
You get pissed off as a group, and then you go show up on the court. If anything, a coach's time at times when you're on a 55, 60 win team and teams feel like they have to win the championship, a coach's job then sometimes has to turn into, guys, calm down. I know we lost a couple in a row. Don't stress. Right. But when you got a young team that's like lost six in a row, it's like, what the fuck you guys think is funny? Ain't nothing funny here.
Exactly.
Nothing's funny.
Nothing's funny.
That's right. A fact. Like
I want you to fucking smile. Take your teeth out. Take your fucking teeth out and don't even smile. Just gum.
That's one thing about being young in the NBA, man. You just be so happy I'm playing this guy. I'm playing LeBron tonight. I got Chris Paul the next night. You know, I'm playing, and you just so happy for real, just to be in that position. You don't really understand when you first coming into the NBA what it really takes to win like that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why vets are like extremely important. Like my vet, Carl Landry in Philly.
Carl
taught me how to be a professional. I know we losing. You got tryouts for 29 other teams. Every time you step out there, they look at how you handle yourself.
I told Carl
just taught me how to get myself together for real. Like, I mean, when I first came into the NBA, I was super happy-go-lucky. Like, I was super happy to see everybody. Like, man, just like wide-eyed. He like, man, nah, listen, you a grown man. You professional. Get yourself together. You got to do this, thing. Just lay things out for me, man.
Carl, quick.
That's my dog.
Yeah, hey. Carl is great. We were together in Golden State.
In the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Oh,
I hated he could have 0 points in the fourth quarter. He could end with 16. You're like, God damn, Carl.
Yeah. A bucket. Mid-range bucket.
Yeah, well, I had him when we were in Golden State together. That's the first year that Steph broke the three-point record, went to the postseason. He was balling. He was like the sixth man kind of off the bench a little bit, started a bunch. But Carl was balling. But, especially being undersized power forward, like he told me the story. He was like, dude, do you realize that only like 20 or 30% of second round picks see a second contract? Right?
Like, man, he told me the same thing.
Yeah, he's the one that told me. Exact same thing. And it's true. A second round contract is a non-guaranteed. It's this, you got to make the team sometimes. And now it's different now because you're drafting like very young players that you're going to develop. So that might have changed. But back in the day where it was first was guaranteed, second round non-guaranteed. Yeah. Only half, and think about it, even in the second round, only about 80% of them make the team. Just because you were right. Guaranteed second round. So it's like, then you go even shorter to the amount of guys that get a second contract. That's next level.
This is my moment to brag on you coming from the Mid-American Conference.
Yeah.
Oh, man,
you made it in this league.
McDonald's. Oh, yeah.
Stand up. We representing always representing.
Can you please set these two straight? They just think because they went to University of Arizona that no one else matters.
No one else does matter.
I'm taking BG over anybody.
I'm taking Toledo, so this is a conflict of interest.
Boo, we don't recognize Toledo.
Likewise. Okay, where does the name Bowling Green come from? Because that's very confusing. You don't go bowling in the green grass. So what is that?
No, but you do like bowling, don't you?
Bowling Green, I'm going to be completely honest. I don't know where the name comes from, for real. Oh, no, I had never heard of it until they recruited me, honestly.
What was the way in which you guys spoke about Toledo? Obviously, you couldn't say the word Toledo, right? Yeah,
Fuck Toledo.
What?
Tuck Toledo.
Fuck Toledo.
Tuck Toledo.
Tuck Toledo?
Tuck Toledo. Yeah. Oh, I love
always.
That. Tuck Toledo.
And we were always BGSUCKS. But bowling is a weight room. You couldn't wear orange. We couldn't wear brown. We couldn't say Bowling Green. You couldn't or it was punishment.
Yeah, it was the same.
It was the
no
same.
No blue.
That bad?
Especially when the week we getting ready to play, y'all. It got crazy.
Yeah, where's Bowling Green at?
It's literally
in Ohio.
And it's 20 minutes up 75.
From 20 minutes away from Toledo.
You guys are close to each other.
Oh, yeah.
Big time rivals.
Oh. Yeah, big time. How many have you ever beat Toledo?
I never beat Toledo.
And out of nine tries, because I also saw the women in the MAC tournament three times, I only beat them once. And it was probably the best game of my career. Most memorable.
You only beat Bowling
Green.
What'd you
have? Six
time?
Points?
Yeah. Kidding?
Yeah.
First of all, so it's different our rivals, because we're Arizona, humble brag, is whoever was the other best team in the conference. Because Arizona State, they've had some players, James Harden, they've had some guys, Eddie Howes, come through there. But ultimately, in my 3 years, I never lost to Arizona State. So I was 6-0 versus them. So it was and they were 90 minutes away. So as far as our rival, it was comical. It was just you guys are cute.
Played them in the tournament. I was,
for them, it was the biggest game. You lost to them one time?
One time.
Yeah, because I remember calling Luke and giving him shit. I'm like, dude,
sick.
You were a freshman, right?
When
you were
I went
freshman
back home,
year?
Yeah, freshman year.
Yeah, I was like, dude, how'd you guys lose to Arizona State?
Oh,
it was curly.
I did come across, sorry to change subjects really quick. This weekend, this past weekend, was the Hall of Fame induction. And I believe I came across KG was someone that you looked up to, Rashawn.
My favorite player. My favorite player growing up.
Yeah.
What was it? You got a chance to play against KG then.
I played against KG one time in Philly. And I remember calling all my friends, I was I'm gonna play tonight. I think we had a couple guys hurt. And I'm like, man, I'm gonna get in the game tonight playing against KG. I'm gonna talk some trash to him, but I want to see if he go crazy.
Don't do that.
I was like, I want to see if he go crazy over.
He will.
And so I had this plan, but I had this plan to do all it. I was going to just I don't know, a layup or a rebound. I was just going to say something. And man, when I got out there and he has this all those a force field around the ball goes to me. It's very, very intimidating.
Yeah.
And man, I'm just looking at him man, this is Kevin Garnett. And I ran up and down the court a couple of times, just looking at him, kind of in awe that I was on the court with him. And then I finally say, "Oh wait, let me snap back. I gotta get back into the game. I gotta say
that's
something."
That's that Carl Lounge.
Yeah. So I gotta say something to him. And then by the time it's time for me to I'm got my mind right, ready to do something, I get pulled out the game.
Oh.
So, and I was looking man, he gotta put me back in. And I think I did go back in during the game, but I don't think Kevin played anymore. I think he was done for the night. So I didn't get a chance to match up with him again. So I missed my chance. During that game, I'm with TJ McConnell and KG gets to talking crazy to TJ.
Yeah.
And I remember just looking on the bench, man, I wish that was me. So I can talk back. That's always been like my, I always wanted to like just get into a tussle with Kevin Garnett just because of like the intensity he played with, for real. Like I always looked up to it, yeah, and I wanted to get a chance to step to it, for real.
Ah, you see, if you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready.
Exactly.
You started getting ready.
Not my favorite human. Ready, I will say that.
It was too late.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Nah, no, thanks. Yeah.
Wait, so you've never had a chance to like actually meet him? Talk to him.
I've never met him. No, I never got a chance to meet him. We shook hands after that game. I know I told him I looked up to him and everything like that. But you know, that was, you know, we had a time like that. It was the only time I really got a chance to talk to him.
Yeah.
Locking Kevin Garnett was one of the hardest guys to do anything with. Pass, dribble, shoot. Like he knew your plays. He's talking to you reckless. That's where I fucked up. Because he is ridiculous. But we've gone back and forth. Obviously, he's a Hall of Famer. He's ridiculous. But Tim Duncan was my guy. Tim Duncan was the guy I looked up to playing. And I was like, man, that shit is Tim Duncan. And the next thing you know, this dude elbows me in my stomach and dunks on me. And I'm like, oh, I don't remember him doing this. Like, that San Antonio's first team was ridiculous. He was a monster trying to guard.
Oh, man, for sure.
I don't think I had, I'm trying, like, I had my favorite players growing up.
Jordan gave you 40, Richard.
No, but no, I'm not talking about, like, lots. Yeah, Bron gave me 55. Like, it happens. Like, who gives a shit about that? I've given Bron 42, no big deal. But my thing was, I was trying to think, if there was a player that I actually got to a space, Rashawn just left. He didn't give a shit.
Yeah, my bad. Yeah. Somebody was trying to call me. My fault.
No, I'm trying to think about, like, was there a player that, like, I was kind of eyes wide? Because I had done the Jordan camp, so we all knew, like, the Jordan. Like, we'd met him. I'd been around him. I'd worked out with him because he was with the Wizards at the time when they drafted Kwame Brown. So, like, Jordan wasn't, like, a guy that I was awestruck of. I wasn't a Kobe guy from, like, you know, he was so young and he wasn't quite, even though he's winning championships when I got to the league, he still was like, he wasn't like that generation's Jordan yet. Right. Like the guys now look at him like he was their generation's Jordan. Like he was only a few years older than me, even though he was a stud. I would probably say
Shaq.
No, there was nobody. Like, everybody, you're excited. Like you said, Rashawn, I was a
I feel like that tells you everything you need to know about Richard.
I was a happy-go-lucky dude. Like, I was happy to be there. I was excited to see everybody, but there wasn't, like, that one person that, like, stood out to me.
He also was playing on a championship-level team with Jason Kidd and Kenyon Martin and Kerry Kittle.
That is true.
Like, you don't got time to be like, oh, man, Jordan, let me get an autograph. You're like, oh, shit, Jason Kidd has told me to buy 56,000 times again.
I've told this story before, but the first time I ever guarded a person in an actual NBA game, that was probably one of the kind of moments for me, because it was like, I go in for Kerry Kittle, I'm coming off the bench, we're playing against the Knicks, and Byron Scott goes, all right, Rich, you go get Kerry, you're guarding Latrell. And the only thing I could think of is like, the motherfucker that choked his coach? That was the only thing I could think of. I kid you not. So, like, not that you go into the game scared, but, like, I'm 20 years old, and, like, the only thing I know about Latrell is, one, he's really fucking good. He's got a mean two-hand fucking cock back, and he choked the shit out of his coach. And I'm like, all right, here we go. Guess this is real. Guess this is what it is. And so that was probably the one kind of moment that I was just like, this shit has got real very quickly.
You got it.
Go ahead, Ellie.
Just going to say, growing up in Illinois, were you a Michael Kidd, MJ Kidd?
Say it one more time.
Growing up in Illinois, were you an MJ Kidd? Like, was MJ your guy?
In Chicagoland area, Michael Jordan is everywhere in the culture.
You don't have a choice.
Yeah, like my dad, when it comes, you can't talk about no other basketball player but Michael Jordan when it comes, like, the conversation has to start and end there.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a big Michael Jordan fan growing up for sure.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Here's my question. Since you played them this year, last question. This is my last question. I'll let everyone else talk since they have stupid questions. You played Jokic and you played Embiid.
Mm-hmm.
Who is MVP this year?
For me, it's Joel Embiid. Like, I mean, Jokic, it's tough because Jokic, he does so much, you know, he got the passing on lock. he's one of the best passers in the game in general, you know, and he does so much for that team. But when Joel gets the ball, like for me, when he gets the ball on the low block and he makes the determination that I'm going to get to the rim and rim and I'm going to score, it's really nothing you can do. You know, it's nothing you can do. It's not too many guys I can say, like, I'm on an island. It's like, send a double. Like, it's not too many guys I'm going to say that. And Joel, it's like when he just makes up his mind. And then he has footwork. He can shoot fadeaways, hook shots, has touch, all of that. But it's just that simple determination. He makes up his mind. He's going to get to the rim and score. He is going to score the ball or you're going to foul. It's going to be one or the other. Like, it's like he has the game on the string with me.
Yeah.
That's a good question, Channing.
Yeah, look at you, Channing. Should we end on that?
I was just going to ask, Rashawn, do you have any charities, anything you're working on, anything that you want to promote? We like to do that here on Road Trippin' for our guests.
Oh, yes. So I have my Stay 20 Tune organization, and our goal is to make sure we provide, you know, just kind of the eyes and things of that sort to, like, the guys who aren't really recruited as much because, you know, growing up, I really didn't have a lot of eyes on me, a lot of offers, things of that sort. And I didn't really know where to go to get opportunities. Like I heard about camps and things of that sort, but I really didn't have an opportunity to get there, didn't get invites, things of that sort, just because nobody really had seen me. So the Stay 22 organization, we just focus on athletes that kind of fly under the radar, who have the talent level equal to guys that you hear about all throughout the world, had their own brands already in high school, which is crazy to think about, you know, guys who, you know, really don't really understand, you know, how to navigate, but who have the same talent to get to the place they want to go. We just want to help show them the way.
Yeah, dude, that's dope. You got to make sure you tag us, let us know. We'll make sure we'll check it out. So then that way, you know, shoot us some stuff, or if you guys are doing something, events, anything that you guys are doing, tag us in it. We'll repost it. We'll repost it from our individuals, like stuff like that, just to help, you know, not raise awareness, but let people know what you guys are doing out there.
Most definitely will. I appreciate that. Yeah, definitely 100%,
will. 100%, man. 100%.
We have one job. We always thank our friends over at Camus for always supplying us, keeping us fueled here at Road Trippin'. So we want to get you a couple bottles to your home. Whether you drink Vito or not, it's an awesome gift.
I'll definitely take it.
Okay, good. We're going to send you a couple.
Be on that Vito.
Yeah.
Whoever
tag Road Trippin',
whoever connected us to you, I'm just gonna have Gina reach out to them and get your address, so we'll send it your way. And lastly, just make sure that your mom knows that Richard is very harmless.
Yes.
Oh, he's
tell your mom I respect it, and I think it's awesome.
What was funny? We had the whole conversation after that happened. We had a whole conversation about it. Like, Mom, you have to understand, I haven't shot threes in probably 3 or 4 years.
Yeah,
this has been my role.
Yeah.
You know, so like, like I said, Mom, she sees something, she just attacks, and I have to let her know, okay, now this is where this person's coming from.
Well, it's like, look, you know, if I'm going to be critical of a player, I'm going to say something that they already know. Right. Yeah. They already know, like, or I'm going to be just super sarcastic and dry and I'm just messing around. I'm never like, you know, when Shaq and Chuck and those guys are Shaq and Chuck, those guys are MVPs. Yeah. But when they hit you with I just didn't think that you raised your game to another level. I'm like, dog, I ain't talking to no player.
Ever.
I am not that's not my role. That's not who I am. That's not what I enjoy. That's not how I like to do it. But those guys can. They're MVPs. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's not my role. I'll just use sarcasm and jokes and lighthearted stuff. Like, yeah, maybe that's not the shot. That's a preseason shot. You don't want to shoot that shot.
Right? Yeah, it was funny to me.
Yeah. Okay, as long as it's funny to you, that's all that matters. Man.
And your mom's the real MVP.
Yeah, she is. Moms can get away with it. Hey, listen. Ask Mom. I didn't engage her. I was like, okay, I'm leaving.
Back in my life.
Mom's out of this one. No, I'm good.
Rashawn, best of luck with the upcoming summer, obviously.
Yeah, for sure, man. Good luck.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Love your game.
All right. I appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me again.
Bye, yeah. Alex.
Yeah. It's another edition of Road Trippin'.
Hey, Road Trippin' fam, we are excited to let you know that Road Trippin' is proud to be presented by FanDuel. Never played NBA Daily Fantasy on FanDuel before? Well, check this out. Right now, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with a 20% deposit match. Why should you play on FanDuel NBA. Well, for one, it is easy to use when it comes to their app. What's not to love about that? But also, for example, they offer different and unique contests across sports in relation to your skill level. Oh yeah, and get this. You can play for big prizes, single game contests for the biggest national matches, and enter contests for as low as 5 cents. That's right. 5 cents. Simply incredible. So again, let's recap. Right now, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with a 20% deposit match. Enter URL FanDuel.com/roadtrippin to play now and get your deposit bonus. That's URL FanDuel.com/roadtrippin so they know we sent you. FanDuel, more ways to win.